We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, y'all. I'm talking about Alabama. Man, I mean, this show, I mean, it goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, I got to tell you, by the way, when during the breaks, you hear the ads playing, right? There's a reason for that. You might think, what is that, Phil? It's because that's how we run our business. So people don't realize a lot of times that Right Side Radio, we are a standalone business. We are an entity unto ourselves. The radio stations you may be listening to us on right now, they don't own us. We send them the show. So we have our own studio, our own staff. We do our own things. But like any other business, we have to support that. And part of how we do that is by selling ads. So think about this. You're a Right Side ruffian. You've got a business. You sell goods or services. You might want to know that our show, between all our stations, has well over 30,000 estimated Right Side ruffians that listen every week. So if you want a captive audience full of ruffians who might rather buy from another ruffian, guess what? You might want to advertise on Right Side Radio. So the bottom line is this. Go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Send us a message on the advertising contact tab. And Lauren from Right Side will get in touch with you like ASAP. And she's been signing up several new ones. We're glad to have them. I'll tell you what, I'm going to go to it real quick. We have the advertising page. Ooh, sponsors page. Sponsors right now shows a variety of our sponsors and who they are and gives you links direct with their logo. And we want to give you some applause for Bama Leak Detection. Bama Leak Detection is our newest advertiser on Right Side Radio as of just yesterday, I believe. And Bama Leak Detection did the same thing. They got in touch with us, and guess what? Here they are, and we're proud to have them on board. Anyway, you want to advertise at Right Side, go to rightsideradio.org. We'll get you. All right. Let's switch gears. Dipper number two on this Taco Tuesday. I guess I should say dose on Taco Tuesday.
Should we do another Taco Tuesday since I screwed the first one up?
Hey, it is his Taco Tuesday.
But more importantly, y'all know what today is, right?
It's Taco Tuesday.
Are we going to get in trouble for that sound effect?
I don't think so.
I like it. Did you change the avatar on it now? You got a button with like Speedy Gonzalez on it?
No, but I moved it around to where it's easier to see.
Cool. All right. You guys have no idea. I'm pretty sure if you could see the inside. By the way, you could see the inside of the studio. Just go to rightsideradio.org, and there's our live stream is right up there. But you can see Big Rig sitting at the nuclear launch site. He's got more buttons than a missile silo over there.
Oh yeah, it's pretty high tech over here.
Yeah, I don't want to brag or anything, but it's pretty high tech. All right, let's change gears. So when did Drew Barrymore get so weird? There's no way to start. I just launched. People are like, what just happened? I'm doing Veep Stakes. All right, the vice president. Let's talk about who's going to be vice president, but let's talk about who's already on the list trying to be vice president. And in case of Kamala Harris, it's again. So Vice President Kamala Harris went on Drew Barrymore's. Apparently Drew Barrymore has a TV show. Did you know this? Okay.
Yeah, I've seen it.
It's a thing. She does some weird interviewing, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but it's like she is like in your personal space, leaning forward, giving you just these plaintive, you know, pleading looks and, you mm-hmm. know, the puppy dog eyes and come on. Anyway, she gets on there. It's like, to me, probably one of the creepiest interviews I've ever seen. Like just maybe just skin crawl. But she gets on there with Kamala Harris. And I will be honest, for a minute there, I was feeling sorry for Kamala Harris. Because it's that moment where you're trapped and you don't know what to do. She's on the couch. Drew Barrymore is getting closer and closer, like to the point that their knees are almost touching on the couch. And then Drew Barry's leaning in on her and says, I've decided that our country just needs a hug. Your country needs a mom. We want you to be Kamala Harris. And I think she was waiting, like that was the line. You know how you have the punchline, you've sort of prearranged for the moment. I think it went over that well.
It just looked awkward.
I'm not sure awkward begins to describe it. Like, to the point that Kamala gave the and the audience gave some polite, you know, laughter and a little bit of applause. Mm-hmm. But if they were looking for the big hit, it's the most widely mocked thing, I think, on social media right now. Mamala Harris. But that's by the way, that's just so you know, she says, as a woman who respects so much and wants to share and wants to be confident, has no ounce of meek, that has competitiveness, when we lift each other up, we all rise. We need a great protector. Oh, all right. Nobody should ever watch that show again. Just saying. But that's one VP. We already know that one. On the Democrat side, their Veep is going to be Kamala Harris, they say, for now, as far as we know. Then let's talk briefly about the independent, RFK Jr. RFK Jr. is out there making waves. RFK Jr. got somebody on his list. He announced not long ago that, first of all, it was widely speculated, he was first looking at Aaron Rodgers. That's right, football player Aaron Rodgers. Like, he was looking at an NFL quarterback. How are you going to make this happen? I don't know. Why Aaron Rodgers? I don't know. But Aaron Rodgers was being widely talked about. Then he was talking about Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. Jesse Ventura? Jesse the Body Ventura? Jesse with the minigun on the Predator? You know, spitting tobacco makes him a sexual Tyrannosaurus. Ain't got time to bleed. That Jesse Ventura was going to be considered for potential running mate for RFK Jr.? Well, he was. He's not now because you know why? He picked a billionaire lawyer out of California that no one really knew about called Nicole Shanahan. Story here on the Daily Wire. RFK Jr. announces hardcore leftist Nicole Shanahan as his VP pick. This is late March. So it just happened about, 4 weeks ago. RFK Jr. announced on Tuesday he selected Nicole Shanahan to be his vice presidential running mate as he continues to run as an independent after dropping out of the Democratic Party. Shanahan, the ex-wife of Google co-founder Sergey Brin, has a history of donating to Democrat politicians, is the president and founder of an organization that invests in leftist criminal justice policies and environmentalism and abortion access. In other words, she's an all-in, hardcore billionaire liberal who puts her money where her mouth is. I mean, she's not like one of those who screams and shouts and then goes on her vacation and forgets she said it. She's putting like lots of money into the most liberal things you can find. The wide speculation is not only did he choose a super lib, but he chose a super lib who can help fund their campaign. That's what just happened. When she divorced from the guy from Google, by the way, I think her holdout for the settlement and the divorce was $1 billion. $1 billion. Anyway, I also saw something about her having an affair with Elon Musk at one point. I don't know. I just look at this and go, good gosh, I'm not sure that this is going to really help your campaign. By the way, all of y'all out there who are still never Trumpers, and you were thinking maybe RFK Jr., maybe just realize what just happened. RFK Jr. signaled that maybe he's in the Democrat, not in the Democrat Party, not because of anything other than they just wouldn't let him debate. And so he got mad, took his ball and went home, and he picked the most liberal person he could find, who also had money, to be his running mate. So who's going to be on Trump's list? Who is it? Wide speculation. Who's it going to be? John from Harvest is already weighing in. I knew that. I agree. John from Harvest says, Phil, I would love a Trump DeSantis ticket. However, not sure how much of a second fiddle DeSantis would want to be. He may want to keep some independence as governor and wait till 2028. That said, he said, I'm thinking that Trump will go with someone he thinks will help him with a key demographic. He said, I'll say Sarah Sanders or Elise Stefanik, or if she had a little more experience, I'd say Katie Britt would be high on the short list. John, you're nailing it, man. Come host my show, brother. But I agree. I think, though, that while I think Sarah Huckabee Sanders is great, I think she's just making her name as an executive. I think she could continue to do well and become a presidential candidate herself, but give it a little more time. I think Kristi Noem may have burned a bridge by killing her puppy. That's been a weird deal. Get into that in a minute. It's like bizarro world story. I don't know what just happened. And then you've got, you know, some of the outliers that you look at and go, very cool, Vivek Ramaswamy. Can he do it? I don't think so. What about Tim Scott? I like Tim Scott. I think Tim Scott would be a good guy, but does he have the charisma? But I don't know. Does he bring something to the table other than his demographics, which would be huge because he's from South Carolina and he's a black man who's very conservative? And I'd maybe. But I will tell you this. The amount of excitement about DeSantis makes me wonder if something's up. Because there's a lot of people out there that see him as the one they wished had won the primary. There are people who are going to vote for Trump, and I hear them say it all the time, who are going to vote for Trump because they can't vote for Biden, but they didn't want to vote for Trump. They wanted to vote for DeSantis. DeSantis was he was seen as the guy. He's not super dynamic, but he's super solid. Look at what he's doing in Florida. Every single day, he is spanking liberals and sending them on their way. So I can't help but wonder, can we do this? Here's a storyline for you. Aside from all the other speculation about other names, you've got a story that just broke yesterday. Pull this one from the Post-Millennial. DeSantis is going to be hitting the campaign trail for Trump after the two met in Florida. Wait, hang on a second. Trump and DeSantis, they had a meeting, apparently. It says that the private meeting took place in Miami. According to the New York Post, sources familiar with the matter said that Trump and DeSantis met in Miami on Sunday and came away after several hours with an agreement that the latter, meaning DeSantis, would help gin up support for the former, meaning Trump, in Sunshine State. The meeting was set up by Florida real estate mogul and mutual friend of both men, a guy named Steve Witkoff. Unlike many of the pair's interactions over the past year, it was described as an overall friendly event. So yeah, there was some bad blood during the campaign. Politics, as they always say, makes for weird bedfellows, right? Strange bedfellows. Is that what's happening here? I don't know. When we get back from this break, I'll tell you though, there's a constitutional provision that could get in the way. Can DeSantis be the running mate for Trump? Put aside whether he wants to. Is he even allowed to do it legally? I'll tell you all about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making it cool to be a conservative. So the Veep Stakes, who's out there? Who's gonna be in the final running? Well, there's others we haven't even named yet. There's Doug Burgum, who is the governor right now in, what, North Dakota, I believe. You've got, of course, Kristi Noem had that weird thing happen where she told the world that she shot her dog because it allegedly was, aggressive or something or didn't. And bottom line is I haven't read up on it in detail. I just find it to be a weird story that you look at and go, I'm not sure what you were trying to do by printing that in your book, but there it is. And so now do we want a puppy killer? I can just see the mailers going out to your mailbox now from the Biden campaign. You don't want a puppy killer on the ticket. Vote Biden. Then you got the whole question about DeSantis. But it's not just DeSantis. You've also got Byron Donalds and Marco Rubio, all from Florida, who were said to be on Trump's list of considerations. But a little known fact is that the 12th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution may actually prohibit the ability of two candidates, a president and vice president, coming from the same state. Why? Why would this be? All right, so the bottom, I pulled this off Tampa Bay News, and I've got a backup here from a website called the Deseret. But the Tampa Bay News points out, here's how it words. The 12th Amendment to the Constitution, this is the one that formed the Electoral College that we use for electing a president, says the electors shall meet in their respective states and vote by ballot for president and vice president, one of whom, at least, shall not be an inhabitant of the same state with themselves. So the Constitution says the president and the vice president have to come from different states. So if Kay Ivey was running for president, don't see it, but if Kay Ivey was running for president, then we in Alabama, our electors, would be able to vote for Kay Ivey. But if Will Ainsworth was her vice presidential candidate, then the Constitution says you can't do that because they can't both be from the same state. Okay, why? Well, the question goes back to the founding fathers. What were they trying to do with the Electoral College? They were trying to make sure that smaller communities, smaller states did not lose everything because the big population centers controlled the flow. By using the Electoral College, New Jersey has as much of a say in electing a president, technically, as Texas does. Not really, but it does. It puts them on a level playing field. It gives them a number of electors that they would not have had if it was just a pure popular vote, because the population of New Jersey is so small, nobody would even care. In doing that, they also wanted to make sure, though, that a president and a vice president from the same state couldn't get elected and then go to Washington, D.C., and all of a sudden, it's like all Florida in the White House. Everybody's Florida in the White House. All we care about is Florida in the White House, because you just ran the ticket from one state. What would happen if all California in the White House, all New York? You imagine the politics of being that, well, it can't be any worse than Biden, but even still, you know what I'm saying. That's that. What I did not know until I was getting ready for the show was this has happened once before in recent years. George W. Bush, I did not know this. Dick Cheney was living in Texas. George W. Bush from Texas. How do we handle this? So before they announced he was going to be vice president, Dick Cheney moved back home to his home state of Wyoming. He just went ahead and said, I'm moving my residency. And then they declared him as a candidate. A court battle ensued. The federal district court said this is acceptable because he moved and established his residency before the declaration of his candidacy for vice president. Okay, great. But it's Trump. It's Trump, and I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what George W. Bush did. It doesn't matter what anybody else, all God's children, know. It's Trump. They're going to bring a legal fight, right? So the question would be, who gets to decide? In other words, does the court have to approve it, or can it just happen? What does it mean to be an inhabitant? Like, for instance, Trump owns Trump Tower in New York City, and he also owns Mar-a-Lago in Florida. If he, at the last minute, says, I am switching my residency back to New York, and then he and Ron DeSantis are in different states, could it work? Or is he truly an inhabitant if he actually still owns a house, an estate down in Florida? And then on top of that, the question is going to be, when is the date of determination? When? I mean, Dick Cheney did it kind of at the last minute. But at this point, Ron DeSantis can't move because he's the governor. He can't leave. He's not going to move. Trump will be the one who have to reestablish his residency, I would imagine. But he's already declared his presidency. So can he do that in the middle of his presidential campaign? I don't know the answer to this question. All I know is I'm a firm believer in the application of constitutional law. And I don't think you can just shuck it off. So the question we have right now about the ability of Trump and DeSantis to be on the same ticket may be exciting to some, but it appears to be constitutionally prohibited. And that, my friends, is a crying shame. We'll see. We will see indeed. All right, listen, coming back up, John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, give us his perspective of where he sees the veep stakes going. Who's going to be our vice presidential candidate? I want to know, don't you? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, all right, we're getting Chairman John Wall from the Alabama Republican Party on the phone. I got to tell you, I got a text here from Lewis from Birmingham. He says, this is easy. He's been in a New York courtroom for more than half a year, thanks to the libs. He has property. He's been in the state. He's a New Yorker. So Lewis thinks that we're just good to go ahead and say Trump is a resident of New York. Call or done. Let's find out what the guy knows who lives, sleeps, eats, drinks, and breathes this stuff on a daily basis. Chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, John Wall's on the line. Hey, John, how you doing?
I am doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Absolutely. Good to have you. Appreciate you making some time. I know you are super busy. I got to ask you, what's the speculation at the party level? I mean, I know you're on the national scene all the time with the RNC, but you're also dealing with stuff here in Alabama. So the Veep Stakes is what I've been calling this. What are we going to see for our vice president? And can Ron DeSantis from Florida be on the ticket with him? What do you think?
Well, look, I think we're all asking ourselves that question this week, right? There's these reports coming out. Obviously, the meeting went well between President Trump and DeSantis. And look, no matter what, I think this is a very good thing for the Republican Party. Whether that conversation they had was about him being VP, or whether it's just them working forward, working together, moving forward. This is good. This is what we want to see. We want to see the two of them together. These are the leading two biggest figures in Republican politics in the country. And you've got Donald Trump, our nominee right now. And then, in DeSantis, you have probably a future nominee for president of the United States for the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited about it. And people are forgetting there's a lot of other positions besides VP, potentially in the Trump cabinet. Or things that are being worked on. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of interesting things moving right now, and I think Ron DeSantis would make an intriguing vice president candidate.
Yeah, I don't know if you see it or not. I was talking about it right before you came on the air. But apparently the 12th Amendment to the Constitution seems to prevent two people from the same state being president and vice president on the ballot.
No, that is correct. And that's why I have spoken with, I don't want to say skepticism, but, I think some people have jumped the gun here saying that DeSantis is the pick. Just because they had a good meeting does not mean it was about a VP situation. Or maybe it was, and we're going to see, like you're talking about, maybe Trump does move to another state. Hey, we take him in Alabama.
Oh, yeah, we would. And absolutely. And I look at it and think, too, you want somebody who can govern on day one for a variety of reasons. Always you want that as a VP. I think Biden did not do that. Biden just pulled someone purely for demographics. But then at the same time, Trump is in his, near 80s. He is also, by the way, under a lot of pressure, and who knows what's going to happen with his illegalities. Having DeSantis on the ticket appears to carry the ball, even if Trump was not there.
Well, and here's a very important point, and this is for anyone who's ever thinking about actually picking, if you're running for president, you're the Republican nominee, and you're like, okay, who do I want as my VP? Something that has to go through your mind is I want someone who is as strong as I am, who the opposition party fears as much or more than they do me. And I think Ron DeSantis is definitely in that category. There's a reason Republicans haven't gone for impeachment on Joe Biden. They don't want Kamala Harris. there's something to taking a nominee that people are just as concerned about as they are you. And I think the liberals are almost as afraid of Ron DeSantis as they are Donald Trump.
So Republicans look for the VP who they should fear because he would do a great job, he or she. And Democrats do it because they fear that they would ever be able to, get over it. And so they put them there as a fire insurance. It's
this,
crazy.
This, my friend, is the difference between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party.
And I don't know if you saw it, by the way. I was lampooning it a little while ago, but Drew Barrymore did an interview with Kamala Harris. And it was like this cringy, kind of touchy-feely, in your personal space, I want you to be the mamala for the world and give us all a hug. Mm. And I thought, that is the most god-awful thing I've ever seen.
That is actually downright creepy. But look, that is also, in my opinion, Kamala Harris being the vice president is what has really curbed the Democrats from trying to replace Joe Biden as their nominee. They have a hard time going around Kamala Harris if Biden is not. And she probably performs just as bad or worse in the polls.
Oh, yeah. Easily bad. Well, more to come on this. Let me ask you one quick question more on politics. There's been a lot of talk about Governor Noem, who, I've always liked her style. I don't know that she'd be the VP, but I've liked her style and the way she governs. But this past week, the whole thing about killing her puppy seems to have really taken a hit. Is that a fatal hit, or is it just one of those flash-in-the-pan moments?
Well, I think it doesn't help because I think she was already, she was already fading a little bit. Her peak was back during the COVID epidemic, and I don't want to take anything away from it. I think she did a tremendous job, stood up for people's rights and freedoms, for their medical freedom, yeah. And kind of told the federal government, get out of my state. Those are the types of governors we need. But she's kind of been on a downward, you know, just her publicity level has been a little bit down. I still think she's in the running, though. So if I was going to tell you my shortlist right now, just my guesses here.
All right.
I would say you've got to put Ron DeSantis in there. You've got to put Kristi Noem in there. You've got to put Tim Scott in there. And I think you got to put Ben Carson in there.
Yeah.
Those would be my top four that I think are the most likely right now. Now, that's just me. That's a complete guess. I have no inside information. But I think those are the people I would be looking at.
Okay. I won't tell anybody you told me.
Yeah.
Just me and you talking here. Hey, we got about 3 minutes. I want to switch gears on you, if you don't mind. We got about 3 or 4 minutes left, and I want to know what in the world with the State Library Board. I mean, you're the one of the governor's appointees.
I am literally sitting in the APLS headquarters right now with Amy Minton. I believe you know her, representative, fellow board member, and we're looking at. We just got done with public comment, about 6 hours straight of public comment on some code change, and we are looking over letters that people sent in. They're now thinking it's up to possibly 6,000 or 7,000 letters that we have to go through for this public comment period. But the bottom line, unless there's something earth-shattering in here after hearing 6 hours of opinion, I think it is clear to me that something no one can argue against is that sexually explicit material should not be in our children's sections.
Thank you. Can I have some applause on that, please, there, Big Rig? Give me the applause. That's an absolute applause line right there. Shouldn't have to applaud it because it should just be automatic, but there it is.
It should be automatic. And for those who say we should not get involved or let libraries be, my answer is we didn't ask for this battle. It was handed to us when they started putting this material into children's sections. Yeah. And that's just been over the last few years, and that's why this is an issue now.
So you've been hearing public comment today, you said?
That's correct. Started 10 a.m. this morning.
I'm sure you've been called book burners and the world's coming to an end because the Nazis are taking over the libraries and all that kind of stuff. But has anybody who has been against the idea of removing sexually explicit material from kids' sections, has any one of those been able to say why they desperately want it to be in the kids' section?
A fascinating question. That's actually a note, the number one note I have on my sheet. Not a single person could explain or defend why sexually explicit material should be in a children's section.
Yeah, that's just...
there was a lot of name-calling. There was... I am definitely a radical, a racist. Think of anything else you want to put there. A Christian, a right-wing nut, a Christian radical, a Christian nationalist. And you know what? Throw the barbs. I think the important thing is that we do the right thing for the children of Alabama.
Yeah, it is. Damn the torpedoes, full steam ahead. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing, man. And well, I appreciate you being there along with my friend Amy, who is on the board with you. And she's been attacked quite a bit in the press for merely being somebody who answered the call. Anyway, good on you, Chairman Wall. And keep us posted on how that comes out, all right?
Will do. It's always good to be on the show.
All right. Thanks so much for making time. Appreciate it.
Yep.
How about that? He calls us from the library board where he's down there still reviewing, and I guess he had to step out of the room to take the call. Very cool. All right. We're going to take a break right now. We'll switch gears, talk about Biden burning some bridges, and I'll take a whole bunch of text messages. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right.
I mean, like saving the world one soundbite at a time. Listen, I got, by the way, a brief bit of breaking news for you. So the gambling bill you've heard so much about down in Montgomery, the complete debacle package of expansion of casinos and everything else in the world and giving criminals sort of a reward for having broken the law long enough to be able to hang in there and get a bill passed in their name. That bill has been sort of in a hiatus. The House passed it immediately. It was an embarrassingly bad piece of legislation. I don't care how you feel about gaming. Everything about the way that bill was put together was anti-Republican. Just absolutely. But they ran it through in the very first week of the legislative session. We are down to the final few days of the session. The Senate took that bill, if you remember, and changed it completely. Took out all the casino language, made it a pure lottery, And they had something about freezing those gambling assets that currently exist in the state, but no expansion. That's my recollection. So the Senate had basically an entirely different view of things, and the House and Senate then got mad at each other. When you pass two bills like that that don't jibe, you have to do what's called going to conference. Now, you can let it die. You can choose to do nothing. But if there's any hope at all of passage of something, it has to do with what's called going to conference. That's where they sit down and they sort of mediate their differences. Well, we'll do this. Well, we're not going to do that, but we'll do this. Okay, we'll do it. And they go back and forth. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. The only way it can move forward then is if it comes out of conference and the caucuses have agreed, we will accept those changes, and then do what's called concurring by vote of the body. So a concurrence could happen today. Whoa. I mean, as of yesterday, I would have said the bills were dead. The gambling bill was dead this year. But we're hearing right now, breaking news, I've got friends in Montgomery who are texting me saying, hey man, the bills went into conference today, and they actually met. And right now, the House has recessed for the sole purpose of going to meet together as a caucus to see whether they will agree, before going out to the floor, whether they will agree to the things that are whatever coming out of the caucus. I'm still waiting on details. But I will tell you that right now, the gambling bill got a new batch of life. It's like the zombie legislation. It never quite goes away. I'll let you know when I find out something more. Could be big doings. We may know something today on what is going to happen. Will they have it all this session? Will it be a modified version? Are they going to find some common ground? Are they still fighting over it? I don't know. We get some text messages here. Going back to the issues at hand here on the show. By the way, the lovely Charlene just sent me a text. She says, just tell us the gambling bill news. I just did, baby. I just did. That's all I know. I told you everything I know. I don't know what else to say. Now I feel pressured. What did I forget? I don't know. Mike from Huntsville texted in and says, DeSantis would be wasted in the VP seat at the kids' table of the federal offices. He's much more valuable as a governor. I don't disagree, man. The only thing I think that DeSantis has to consider is whether or not, if somebody goes in there as a Trump VP in 4 years, they are in the driver's seat for running for the nomination. Could a vice president pick one? Could a vice president, Tim Scott, be supplanted by a term-limited Ron DeSantis? He won't be able to run again. He'll be term-limited under Florida law for running for governor for a third term. So it's either out of politics, or he does something different, or runs for president against somebody else who was VP. So I don't know. Plus, there's always the possibility, though, with everything going on with Trump, that Trump could get elected and then be out of office within a short time, and Ron DeSantis could be there in the wings waiting to become the president. I don't know. And it's a lot to consider. A lot to consider. We'll see. Dustin from Hillsboro says, unlike Biden, Governor Noem doesn't let her dog bite other people. Wow. Dustin from Hillsboro just went there. Jeff from Town Creek says, hi, Phil, I think your voice text is not working for you there, Jeff. I think Trump wants to offer it to Hillary, but she wouldn't take it. No. John from Huntsville. Hey, say, Phil, here's a Drew Barrymore trivia question. Do you know what she did on the David Letterman show that became very controversial? I cannot recall. John, but I remember something years ago. You're welcome to text it in. If I can read it on the air, I will. Ron from Tuscumbia says either DeSantis or Abbott. Okay. I like it. Governor Abbott from Texas would definitely be a good one. Matthew from Trinity says they can't both be from Florida. I wish DeSantis was the nominee. Okay, Matthew. He's not, though, brother. But we're wondering whether he could be the vice presidential nominee and be on the ticket. Mike from Athens says, I seen it all day when I lived in California. He's talking about letting illegals vote. Okay, that's a different topic altogether. But okay, brother. Appreciate it. And then Devin from Brownsboro says, Trump McQueen. Trump McQueen? I don't think so. I didn't get a couple of them further down from earlier in the show. Wendy from Moulton said about college football unionizing. If college football teams unionize and they make demands or strikes, Can the university just say, no, we're not negotiating. We'll replace said players with some thousands of kids that want to play football. Scab players. Awesome. It's like that movie, The Replacements. Chicks dig scars. It's all good. And then Rough Leanne from Huntsville says, Speedy Gonzalez. And she sent a little logo for you of Speedy Gonzalez. All right. Listen, last couple, then we'll head to the break. Joe from Elkmont says, have you heard anything about Agenda 47? No, I have not. Thank you, Joe. And then Mark from Laredo, Tennessee says, Kerry Lake is the best choice for VP. I don't know, man. I mean, I think Kerry Lake would wear some people out. I'm pretty sure Kerry Lake, you do a mixed martial arts match with her and Kamala Harris, we know who comes out on top. But I don't think Kerry Lake's going to be a VP pick. She's got great street cred on her presence. She's got no street cred on her ability to govern. She has always been the perpetual candidate, never having won a race. So you have to look at it and go, at some point, you can't bring on somebody just because they ran for something once. You have to bring on somebody who could say, here's what I do, here's what I did, and here's what I'll do for you if I'm there. All right. What a great segue. We're going to come right back. And yeah, man, we're going to go international. Joe Biden, burning bridges left and right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.